Turn our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter number 2 in your Bible. We read chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I'd like to just speak about an important but simple subject about the place of the Word of God in your spiritual growth. You know, the Bible talks about spiritual growth. The Bible talks about spiritual growth and the fact that when a person is born again, they are called a babe or a newborn babe in the kingdom of God. The Bible talks about the fact that newborn babes need some special food. They need the Word of God. Here it talks about that the babies need the milk of the Word of God. And, you know, the Bible talks about maturity. The Bible talks about growing, that every person should have spiritual growth. It's interesting that in the Bible, some people were old in the Lord, but were acting like they were babies in the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Corinthians were old in the Lord, or older in the Lord, but they were acting like they were brand new babies in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you are not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." They said they were not able to eat meat. They could only drink milk. They were acting like they were babies when they should have grown and acting like full-grown adult believers. For Hebrews chapter 5 says the same thing. Paul is speaking to the Jewish Christians, and he said, verse 11, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, and seeing ye are dull of hearing." They were supposed to be mature. They were supposed to be able to take the meat of the Word of God and chew it and digest it and receive it and become even further strengthened. But he says, you can't hear it. You're dull of hearing. You know, dull of hearing is, oh, I heard that before. I don't want to hear dull of hearing. And it says for the time when you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as need the such as need of milk and not of strong meat. This is Hebrews 5, now 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Talking about spiritual growth, spiritual maturity. He said, "No, you should have been growing. You should have been growing to the place where you could handle this truth of the Word of God." But it says, "But you aren't. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs unto them who are of full age." That means their maturity matches their age. And they become mature. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, here is a situation that they were acting like babies in the Lord. They didn't. They couldn't understand. They couldn't discern between right and wrong. They couldn't discern between these different passages of Scripture. They couldn't understand truth from the Bible. Why? Because they were babies when they should have been adults. They hadn't grown. They hadn't grown. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, it's interesting. It talks about spiritual growth and talks about maturity from a different standpoint. But in Ephesians chapter 4, it says this about the duty of pastors and teachers in the local church. It says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for, and there's their purpose in the church, for the perfecting of the saints. The word perfecting is for the completing, the maturing of the saints, and for the work of the ministry. Here it tells us that a mark of spiritual growth is people are doing the ministry. They're serving God now with their life. And they're doing something with their salvation. They've grown. And so it's interesting in the Bible, there are marks of growth. You know, you can see marks of growth. It's interesting, one time I bought a mountain ash tree from a seed catalog. This is long before we were in the nursery business. I bought a mountain ash tree through one of these seed catalogs. Now, I didn't know that, which I know now, is most seed catalogs get the runts of the litter. And a lot of their stuff is the smaller stuff that should be bigger if it was the right genetic stock. Well, this was really true, this mountain ash tree. This mountain ash tree was, just didn't grow. It didn't grow. It didn't grow. I mean, it was just a little bit, you know, a little bit taller every year. Well, if you know anything about mountain ash trees, they grow like weeds. But this thing didn't grow. And, you know, it was observable. It was observable. This thing isn't growing. I mean, it's the same as it was last year. And it's almost the same as it was 3 years ago. I wonder today, a lot of Christians, at different times in our life, we could say that about ourselves. You know what? There's not much change. Not much change. Been saved for 5 years. Not much change. Not much observable growth. But, you know, that's exactly what the Bible is telling us, that there ought to be observable growth in the life of a believer, that these things, there ought to be increase in our life of our love and our faith and our faithfulness and our prayer life and our service for the Lord. There ought to be increase. There ought to be marks, obvious marks of growth. You know, I remember John Getch one time was preaching here, and he says, you know, I thought, you know, we're supposed to grow. And, you know, if I'm growing, then what I gave last year, what I give this year should be more than what I gave last year. Because my faith should have increased. My ability to walk with God should have increased. And he talked about how,
You know, he started tithing. And the next year he said, well, I mean, God took care of me last year. I ought to give 11% this year. And next year, he said, I ought to grow some more. I ought to trust God for more. I ought to give 12%. And I don't know what he's up to now. Might be up to 99. I don't know. But he isn't that old. But anyway, growth. Growth. Now, as we look at our text today, we see the key to spiritual growth. We see one of the great keys to spiritual growth. The source of growth. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. As newborn babes that desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Now, if you look at that chapter, you'll find out a very interesting thing. In the previous chapter, what does it say in verse 23? It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of the man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You know, what did Jesus say about the word of God? Jesus said this, John 6:63. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They are spirit and they are life. The flesh profiteth nothing. It is the spirit that quickeneth. You know, the Bible is not just some pages with some print on it. The Bible is the Word of God. And the Bible tells us that the Word of God is life-giving. That the Word of God, it is spiritual. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says the word of God is quick. We get the word quickening. The result of it is English word quick, you know, life. But it really means it's life-giving and it's powerful. You know, the sad thing is some people get more motivated out of reading a book than they do the Bible. Some people get more motivated listening to a movie than the Bible. You know, some people get more motivated by watching some drama than by the Bible. You know, something wrong with that formula, isn't it? Because it's the Bible that is the living Word of God. I remember one time visiting this family years ago when we were starting the church. We visited some church telling them, getting people to pray for us. And we were in this home, the Amdahls. Never forget that. They were farmers. And Mr. Amdahl said, you know, I think sometimes as Christians, we read more books than the book. And I'm talking about Christian books. You know, there ought to be one book that is the big book in our life. And you know what? It ought to be the Bible, the Word of God. And you know what does the Bible tell us? The Bible tells us that the Word of God is like seed. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4. I love this illustration of the Word of God. Mark chapter 4. Verse 26, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of its herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. Now it says, the kingdom of God is as a man who should cast seed into the ground. And according to Matthew 13, the parable of the sower, the seed is what? The word of God. You know, think about that. You know, you take a beans, you take a kernel of corn. You know, it looks dead, doesn't it? I mean, you could chew it and eat it, but you know, in reality, that doesn't look like much. Just looks like something that's dried and dead, doesn't it? But you put that seed in the ground, and what happens? You know what? A miracle takes place. That seed has life in itself, doesn't it? And you put that seed in the ground, and it germinates, like the Bible says, it brings forth the blade and then the plant, and pretty soon it's going to bring a fruit for harvest. But it's a miracle. You put that dead seed, so to speak, in the ground. And you think about, and it's got life in itself, and it brings forth a plant. Now, in one sense, the word, you know, the Bible's a book. It's got paper, and it's got print, okay? And, you know, from the outside, you could just say, well, it's a book, right? Kind of like that kernel of corn or whatever. But you know, it's more than that. It's like the seed. It's got life in itself. It's got life in itself. Because it is the living Word of God. It has life in itself. It is the food for the believer. Psalm 19 and verse 17, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Wow. It converts the soul. It changes the soul. Its truth molds the life. The truth enlightens the mind. You know, the source of spiritual growth, among others, but the main source of spiritual growth is this book, the Word of God. You know, there's a new brand of Christianity. The new brand of Christianity is you got 10,000 people go to some kind of place, they call it a church, they don't even bring a Bible. And most of the people who go to that new brand of Christianity very seldom even open this book. In fact, many of them never open this book. Or once in a great while. And yet, the fact is this, when a person has been born again, there begins a relationship with God. And that relationship is born out, is seen visibly every day. And how it's seen? By the Word of God. I remember Mrs. Wright's testimony, and soon she will be back after her healing of her ankle. But I remember her telling the testimony of how, as an unsaved mother, she went to visit her son. And her son had come to know the Lord. And every day, every morning, she would see his son, her son, and she would see her his wife. And what would they do? Every morning, they would open up the Bible and they would read God's word. And they would say, she said to herself, wow, this is different. This is different. I've never seen this before. She had never saw real Christianity before. But that dear lady, I would dare to say probably today that's what happens every morning in her home. And in the home of every person who is truly born again walking with God, every day, what do? They read the Word of God. Because this new relationship with God is fleshed out in a walk with God, and you only can walk with God. It starts right here in this book. So the seed, the life-giving seed, is the Word of God. The source, the food for the believer is the Word of God. That which is spiritual and life-giving, what is it? It's the Word of God. The Lord preached a hard message in John chapter 6. And many of the people who claimed to be followers of him left. They said, no, forget this. And the Lord looked to Peter and the disciples and said, are you going to leave me too? And he said, what did he say? No. No, to whom shall we go, Lord? Thou hast the words of eternal life. So the source of growth is the Word of God. The source of growth is the Word of God. And that brings us to the principle of actions of growth. Actions of growth. Well, there's got to be something for growth. Now, what's normal? 1 Peter, we'll look there. 1 Peter 1 and verse number 2. There's a very important word, and you should probably underline this phrase in your Bible. 1 Peter chapter 2, number 2. As newborn babes desire. Anybody here? Let's see. Tim and Christy aren't here. Let's see. Who else has a brand new baby? Anybody else here have a brand new baby? Who? Oh, the Hennings have a brand new baby. Okay, how's that alarm clock do? Babies, they are given a special alarm clock to wake up any mother in the world, and fathers too, to a certain degree. And there's a certain scream that goes with that newborn baby, and that scream says, I want to be fed, I am hungry, I am dying of hunger. I am literally dying of hunger. Well, that's what it says. Isn't that what it says? As newborn babes desire... I messed up. You got to circle that word. As a newborn babe. Screaming, yelling, crying at the top of her voice. No waiting. No substitute. Can't get a nice pat on the back and say, have a nice sleep. No. Right now. Not later. I'm dying of hunger. That's what it says. Actions towards the Word of growth, towards the Word of God is longing for seeking a hunger, a thirst, a devouring desire for the Word of God. That's normal. That's normal. That's action towards the Word of God. Now, so think about that. You stop growing? Well, I'll tell you what. Go to some places of the world where they don't get much to eat. And you know what? Now, that's not my problem. But they're shorter. You take those same people and you put them in a place where they get a good diet, and the next generation is taller. There's got to be right food to grow. There's got to be food to grow. And so there has to be this longing for the Word of God. There has to be this input of the Word of God. And Psalm number 1 tells us, well, how often should you have the Word of God in your life? Psalm number 1 will give us the answer. Blessed is a man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate every other Sunday. Is that what it says? And in his law doth he meditate once in a while. And in his law doth he meditate on every holy day. No. And his law doth he meditate day and night. You know what one of the problems is today? One of the problems is people have their mind occupied too much of the time with other things. You know, the average young person today, they got two earbuds in their ear and they're getting all this stuff into their mind all day long. I wish I could say it was the Word of God. But you know, when you got all this stuff, whether it's TV or whether it's iPod or whether it's you name it, and you got all this stuff, when are you going to meditate on the Bible? I don't know, but maybe you're better multitasker than I can. But you know, it's pretty hard to meditate on the Bible when you got your mind on other things. It's pretty hard to meditate on the Bible if you got your mind not only on other things, but if you got your mind on the things of the world. I tell you what, you certainly aren't going to be able to meditate on the Bible. Meditating. And it says day and night. Every single day of our life, we need God's Word. You know, the most important decision that you can make as a Christian, one of the most important decisions is to make that decision that every single day that you will read the Word of God. Every single day, that there will not be ever one day in your life that you pass without reading the Word of God. If you haven't made that decision in your Christian life, you have missed one of the basic, preliminary, simple decisions. This is, if you are recently saved, this is the important decision you need to make right now, that every day you will be in God's Word. Why? Because it is life-giving. It is God's word. It gives life. It gives strength. It gives food. It gives understanding. It gives light. It is the word of God. There's no spiritual growth without the word of God. Now, notice what else it says about the word of God. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, it says verse 19, verse 18 tells us the context. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that's the Bible, that we should be kinds of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. In the context here, swift to hear. Notice it says, verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Now, we have some instructions here. Notice it says that we are to hear the word of God. Now, you might already have been here for a while and you didn't hear anything yet. Now, you heard some noise, but you didn't hear anything. You might even heard some words, but your mind been on something else, you know, what you're going to do when you get home, and you didn't hear anything. You know, anybody, parents ever tell young person, did you hear me? Ever say that? And why do they say that? Because it doesn't act like they know that they heard the noise, but they didn't hear the words. Hear. You know, yesterday I was reading the story of David and Goliath. And I got about one third into the story, and I said, wait a minute. I just read about 15 verses, and if I didn't know all the facts, I wouldn't have gotten them by the way I was reading them. You know, you can be reading your Bible and you can be preoccupied with something else and just read words. You know, it takes work to decide to read the Bible, to hear it. It takes some work to hear the Bible message. You know, one of the things that we probably miss in America they do in most of the churches in Britain is when people come to church and they sit down, the first thing they do is they pray. And they say, they ask the Lord that the Lord would speak to their heart. They ask the Lord to quiet their heart. They ask the Lord to prepare their heart. They prepare their heart for the Word of God. And that's certainly a part of the culture of the Chinese churches. First thing they do, come to church and they stop and they pray and they open their heart so that they would hear the word of God. Notice it says, verse 21, it says, receive the word of God. Receive it. Hear it. And, of course, these are related words. You don't hear it unless you hear it. And receive it means to accept it. There's a conscious decision to accept the word of God, to hear it, to receive it. Now, a way to understand that is to personalize the Bible. You know, to personalize the Bible means there's a conscious decision to apply this truth to your life. Well, you can read about David and Goliath, and you can know all the facts about it, and you can say, oh, that's great, I know, you know, that Goliath was 6 cubits and 1 span and about 9.5 feet, and he was a big fella. And what about that? What good will knowing the fact about it yet to think about it, to receive the truth about it, to personalize it? You say, oh, David, he killed a lion and a bear. Oh, that was pretty good. But why don't you personalize it? What kind of faith do I have? Do I have that kind of faith? That I could do my job with that kind of reality of God helping me? You know, receive. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 that the word of God was not mixed with faith when they heard it. We have to believe the Bible. We have to act upon the Bible in faith. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 19, it says that we have to obey the Bible. And that there were all these Jewish people, they didn't have any discernment. They didn't have their senses exercised. Why? They didn't obey the Bible. And therefore, the truth of the Bible was like dead knowledge. They didn't obey it. You know, there's James chapter 1, we're there. It says, be ye doers of the word. You know, I check the devotions. Hope you parents that check the devotions of your kids. I check once in a while, I check the application. And, you know, here's somebody, typical answer. I learned that, the Bible is food for your soul. Well, that's really nice, but what are you going to do about it? Is that an application of a sermon? Is that going to change your life? No. Not unless... I like to look at the application. I like to see, not I learned. I like to say, because I learned this, I will. I will. You know, so here's the standard answer. You know, I should be nice to my little brother. Well, what about, well, yeah, who, you didn't have to read your Bible to know that. Right? But when you say, I will be kind to my little brother, that's doing the Word of God. That's the first step of doing. You know, we ought to read the Bible with the intention of doing what it says. You know, doing is so important. You know, doing gets everything, all the gears together. And you know, it's the difference between watching somebody else do something and doing it. And we have this little project going on in the nursery for the daycare. And, you know, everything was kind of cloudy in my mind, you know, et cetera. And I was trying to push everything off on Philip. And I was telling him, yeah, Philip, you know. And I realized I was being a little bit unfair. And so I got up here and got my tools and started working alongside him. And the big cloud went away. As I got into the work, I began, things kept back, coming back to my mind of, oh yeah, I gotta do this, gotta do this, gotta do this, there, this, and this. You know, doing sharpens your mind. Doing puts all the faculties in action. I'm not really a good observer because it doesn't make your mind work very hard. And the Bible says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And you know, praise the Lord. For the people of God who come to church, amen, praise God. That's exactly what God wants us to do, and be very difficult for us to come and not get something for our life, amen.
And you know, praise the Lord, at least the negative isn't taking place, you know. But you know what?
We could leave here deceived. Because we heard something. And we say, well, I kind of like that. That was good. That was good truth. And I like that story. And et cetera, et cetera. I never tell the end of the story. My wife always tells me, I give part of the illustration. Don't tell the end of the story. What was the end of the story, Dad? The kids say. But you know what? We might think that we did a great job going to church, but if there wasn't any change in action, we just kind of deceived ourselves, didn't we? We deceived ourselves. We thought, oh, I'm doing okay. I made it to church. But we didn't change anything. We didn't do anything about what we heard. We didn't put it in action. The Bible says that, you know, the Bible requires some action. It's this life-giving truth. It's this life-giving reality. It's God's holy word. It changes our life. But we have to do something with it. We have to hear it. We have to receive it. We have to believe it. We have to obey it. We have to do it. But do something about it. You know, the older I get, the more I realize how important it is to meditate on the Bible. I don't know. It seems like, I don't think this is really physically true. But I think maybe spiritually it is. I think, you know, as you get older, you know, when you're young, you can memorize a verse in 5 minutes. And there's verses I memorized when I was young, when I was a young Christian, and I hardly forget them. I can memorize verses today, and 5 minutes later, complete grayness, cloud, confusion, worse than when I started. I find I have to spend more time to meditate on the Bible to get it to sink in. Not less time, it takes more time. And this is law, doth he meditate day and night. You know what? You truck drivers, you know, I don't really want to be a truck driver driving those semis, you know, through Chicago and those terrible places. But you know what? When you get on the open road, man, what a tremendous time to meditate on the Word of God. You know, there's no dogs there barking, no cats, you got the radio off, no interference, you know. Hey, you can meditate on the Word of God and get it in our soul. What a great truth that is. And you know, one of the things I like working, if I can do it without too much pressure, I like to work with my hands alone. You know why? Because that's one of the few times I get to really meditate on the Word of God. But you know, there's the source of growth and there's the action of growth, but there's the seedbed of growth, and we don't have much time to talk about this. But I want us to really quickly go to Matthew 13. And it's a parallel truth, but maybe since we won't have much time to think about it, you could think about it. And the parable here is the parable of the sower. And here's the sower. He sows the seed, and some seed falls on the side of the road, you know, the hard-packed pavement. And it doesn't sprout up. The birds of the air come and eat it up, and it's over with. And the Bible says that represents people who hear the Bible, and immediately it doesn't get into their heart. The devil comes and snatches away the Word of God. And it has no effect upon their life at all. Now, by the way, that's one of my kids. This isn't related. One of my kids was sitting in the back, and they saw 8 children go back to use the bathroom in one service. You know, every kid that gets up and goes to the bathroom, whoever sees that child, if they see it, how much of the Word of God are they hearing it during those minutes? None. And don't think those little kids aren't little sinners. Some of them go back there because they want to get out of the service. Ever watch them, how long it takes them to go to the bathroom? I mean, not watch them, but, you know, consider it. I mean, they must have went down to the farm down there and used the bathroom down there. It took them so long. No, they're little sinners. But the devil uses them to snatch away other people's attention from the Bible, too. But you know, the hard soil, these soils are talking about the soils of a person's heart. And what keeps people from the Word of God producing fruit in their life? I call that heart the prejudiced heart. The prejudiced heart. And you know, people have, in our heart, we can have prejudice. And we get prejudice in our heart, and because of it, we don't hear a thing. Now, it might be religious prejudice. And because of our religious prejudice, we don't care what the Bible says. We aren't even going to think about it. We got this religious prejudice. Forget it. You know, that violated my prejudice. You know, sometimes people have something against the preacher, and they have preacher prejudice. And so, because they don't like the preacher, doesn't matter what he says, they aren't going to get anything out of it. He could stand on his head, and they won't hear one word because they have preacher prejudice. You know, some people have what I call inconsistency prejudice. They hear they say, I know a Christian, and they don't live the life. And that's just a bunch of phooey, and so I'm not listening. You know, that's a prejudice that people have. And because of that prejudice, they don't hear the Word of God. And we can have prejudice in our heart and not hear the Bible. Secondly, it was the soil that it was on stony ground. Now, what do you mean by stony ground? There's only a thin layer of soil over the ground. And you know, that nice warm soil, isn't it? And if there's a little moisture in there, that seed's going to sprout right away. But, you know, when the sun comes out, it's going to die. And, you know, that kind of soil is the soil of personal fear. The soil of personal fear. And the Bible says that because of persecution or of such like thing, that when the sun comes out, which is speaking of the test of life. You know, the Word of God is always tested. You know, you're going to hear the Word of God, and it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something to obey the Bible. And you know what? If you're more interested in what it's going to cost you to obey the Bible than to realize that the Bible is the Word of God, you won't get the truth, will you? You won't get the truth. You know, a people, you can just see it in their eyes. You just talk, men especially. You give a man the Bible, you witness to a man, and you know, that man, the first thing that they're thinking about is what this is going to cost them. That man, what does he think? He says, you know what? If I go to that church, I'm going to have to get rid of my magazines. Or I'm going to have to get rid of my internet site. If I go to that church, I'm going to have to get rid of my girlfriend that my wife doesn't know about. If I go to that church and where the Bible's preached, you know what? I'm not going to be able to lie to my clients like I do. You know, if I go to that church, you know, the bottle of booze in my truck, that's going to have to go. You know, if I go to that church, you know what? My jokes aren't going to fly. If I go to that church, you know what? I'm going to have to change my apparel. You know, if I go to that church, you know, I'm going to change my friends. They might say, I'm going to have to change my job. Forget it. I don't care what the Bible says. I don't want to hear it. It's going to cost me something. So they say, forget it. I'm not going to read the Bible. I'm not going to hear the Bible. That's the personal fear, the fear of man. It's the fear of what it will cost. And then there's the soil that I call it the weedy ground. And the seed sprouts. And pretty soon, though, it sprouts. But, you know, as time goes on, the weeds sprout, too. That's why you got to get your oats in right away in the springtime, because they got to get a head enough start of those weeds so that they crowd out the weeds and not the weeds crowd out the oats. And here, this is the soil of competition. Competition. And the weeds will eventually wipe out the truth of the Word of God and the seed. You know, it's a seed of competition. And the Bible says how it says that the care of this world, the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and becometh unfruitful. You know, it's the seed, it's the heart and the home that has the wrong priorities. The wrong priorities. All sorts of things come in front of God. All sorts of things come in front of serving God. All sorts of things come into the light that choke out the Word of God. It can be something like sports. It can be something like collecting. It can be something like a hobby. It can be all sorts of things. It can be a job. It becomes more important than spiritual life. But then there's the good soil. It says the good soil receives seed in the good ground is he that hears the word, understands it, bears fruit, and brings forth 100-fold, some 60, some 30-fold. The good soil is the soil that where the heart is submitted to God's will. If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine. It's the heart that doesn't have any competition. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. It's the heart where a person has counted the cost. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. It's the heart where the person has decided that the love of Christ is the most important thing in their life. Who will love you the most? The one that thou hast forgiven the most. You know what? Good soil. You know, I am convinced, and we're going to talk about this in our family series. I'm convinced one of the biggest problems with Christian homes is that Christian homes don't have good soil. And so these kids hear the Bible over and over and over and over, and it doesn't take root in their life, doesn't change them. Why? Because it's not good soil. Parents haven't been willing to pay the price. Parents have the wrong priorities. The home has the wrong priorities. And the Bible says the Word of God will not take root and bring forth fruit in that atmosphere. But we also have that kind of atmosphere in our life, in our heart. There's nothing wrong with the Word. There's nothing wrong with this life-giving Word. There's nothing wrong with a message. Our heart can be the whole problem. And we might even go through the motions of reading the Bible. We might even go through the motions of hearing the Bible preached. But it can be our heart is all wrong because it's not willing to pay the price. It's full of fear of what it will cost. It has the wrong priorities. The competition is snuffing out the Word of God. But God wants our heart to be a good soil, a heart that's surrendered to God's will, a heart that doesn't allow for any competition because there's only one God. There's only one Lord Jesus. There's only one supreme one who we need to give him our all. And we need to be willing to pay the price no matter what the cost to follow him. He is worthy and he has forgiven us more than we could ever imagine. We ought to be willing to serve him at all costs because of we love him. You know, as we think of spiritual growth, one simple truth is, you know, they used to put this in Bibles years ago. This is the Word of God. 7 days without the Word of God will make 1 week. W-E-A-K. Used to write in front of a Bible, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. This is the source of growth right here. And we could stop right there for some of us and say, you know what? I don't read my Bible every day like I ought to. You know, maybe you're 10 years old in the Lord and you're still only on one chapter a day. Wait a minute. You mean in the morning and your wife makes you a great big nice pan of lasagna and you only take a 1/4 of a piece? You say, that's all I can handle. 1/4 of a piece. Well, sometimes that's what we do with the Bible. One chapter a day, been saved 10 years, only one chapter a day. I mean, that's a pretty good diet for a brand new Christian. Maybe 1, 2, 3, or 4. But a 10-year-old Christian, one chapter a day. Go to Culver's and say, order of fries. 3 fries only. Now that three fries, that might be okay for, you know, a 4-week-old baby. Probably can't even give them fries, but they'd really choke. But source of growth, the Bible. The amount of the Bible has a lot to do with how much we grow. And you know what? If you've been stunted, you know what? There's a real good formula to undo the stunting. It's called a quick change diet. Start reading 5 to 10 chapters a day. Get out of that 1 or 2 verse mode of reading the Bible and start reading it like it is the Word of God. There'll be a jump start to your Christianity. Get in God's Word. Make it a vow before God that every day of your life you will be in God's Word. Maybe in reading your Bible, but hasn't been much growth because you haven't been obeying it. You haven't been acting on by faith. You haven't been making decisions for God. In your devotions, you need to. When's the last time you made a decision for God in your devotions? When's the last time you said, hey, that's a great truth. You know what? That needs a change in my life, and it's going to change today. When's the last time that happened? That's what kind of Bible reading we need to have, right? And you know what? We need to have that good heart that's producing. But maybe you have to say, you know what? I got a prejudice heart. I haven't been growing much because I got prejudice. Maybe you're prejudiced against the preacher. You thought that he was perfect, and now you're disappointed. And because of it, the devil's used it. You don't have to listen to any preaching anymore, because he certainly doesn't have anything to say. And because of it, you haven't been growing. Maybe it's a fear. Maybe it's time that you quit fearing what it's going to cost you to live for God. And say, I'm ready to pay the price. And give that thing over to God, so when you hear, read the Bible, you can hear it. And it can be a delight to your soul. Maybe there's just too many competitions in your life. Maybe there's too many worldly pleasures. Maybe there's too many things. You know, you can have a lot of things in your life, and they all can be the great things. But if you don't have time to read your Bible and make decisions, it's choking out the Bible and choking out your spiritual life. You need to get rid of some things. You need to get rid of some things. They're competing for what your soul needs. And it could be a proper thing in its right place. But it's choking out the Word of God. You've got to get rid of it. So you can grow. So you can grow again. And go forward for God. God wants us to grow. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for the Word of God today. And the truth that we've learned, and I trust, Lord, that each one of us here today have made responses to you, if not yet, that we will now. Lord, help us to meditate on the truth today, how you would want to apply it to our life, and how we ought to make a definite response to your word, whether that's outwardly or whether it's about things, about how we read the Bible or how often we read the Bible or how much we read the Bible or if we do or will meditate on the Bible. Perhaps it has to do with things in our own heart that we have to deal with so that the Bible that we read will make impression on our life and change us. Lord, these are vital things. And Lord, I pray that right now that you'll help us take time to apply the truth to our lives. We thank you, Lord, for how you were able to speak to our hearts. And for those who even this day made that vow to read the Bible every day. For those who have made vows to spend a great more time in the Word of God. Decisions to get things out of their life that hindered the Bible from taking effect. Might you be glorified in it, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name.